Explore the tropics at Whole Foods Market through April 16th. Save on juicy finds like yellow mangoes at 5 for $5 with Prime. Sweet Dacopan citrus is back, just $3.49 per pound with Prime. Plus, save on seasonal favorites like dragon fruit, kiwi, pineapple, and more. In the meat department, pick up animal welfare certified meats with tropical-inspired marinades. And be sure to try the spicy Hawaiian pizza, back for a limited time, only at Whole Foods Market.
Looking for hair removal tools that not only deliver smooth results, but also empower you with a sense of complete control? Enter Conair Girl Bomb, your secret weapons for smooth, sleek results, made just for women. From the ultimate Girl Bomb grip and professional-grade blades, you don't have to compromise and settle for less. Conair Girl Bomb equips you with the precision and power previously reserved for men's grooming tools. So take your hair removal routine to the next level with Conair Girl Bomb. Available at ConairGirlBomb.com or a retailer near you.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
The Nikki Glaser Podcast.
The Nikki Glaser Podcast. Here's Nikki.
Hello, here I am. Welcome. It's the Nikki Glaser Podcast. We're back in St. Louis, Missouri. Well, Noah is in Arizona, but Andrew and I are back in the Lou. No one really calls it that. Do they?
No.
Nelly did. I'm from the Lou, and I'm proud.
Was that the first time you ever heard it?
I think so, yeah. I think he maybe coined it.
Going on at Kirkwood High School?
No, I don't think it was, but maybe I wasn't really aware. I didn't have a lot of, like, hometown pride back when I was a teen. You know, like, you're just, like, everywhere, like everywhere's better than here. Like, you just want to get out. I wasn't like, St. Louis is the best.
Did you feel like you were from
a small town?
Even though it was a...
No. St. Louis is the... It's the most populous city of like 16th. That's pretty up there.
Yeah, no, it is.
And I feel like I traveled enough as a child that I saw like, oh, this is, I didn't feel like, you know, when people hear Missouri, they think it's like farmland, which a lot of it is, but.
No, but in regards to, you said you wanted to get out. That's why.
Yeah,
because I
just wanted to like be, I wanted to do like Felicity and like go to New York and like there's bigger things out there. Like I just wanted to do some. I just wanted to be like that was my way of like rebelling, even though there's no rebellion.
Are there things you know about St. Louis that, like, three things that no one would know being from here? Like, I say that saying that I could live in a place for 30 years and know less than someone that just does one tour.
Well, I feel like there's nothing that I know, like, historically that is that my dad could like regale you.
Who founded St. Louis?
I think St. Louis.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Like a guy.
Well, what's the story?
Lewis. I don't know my great-grandfather's name. I'm not going to know the history of St. Louis. I know Lewis and Clark came through here.
Oh, is that the Lewis?
I know that.
Different Lewis?
I don't know. I literally don't know anything about St. Louis at all, about the founding of it. I don't know when.
Where I'm from.
Missouri was made into a state. I don't know if it was part of the Louisiana Purchase. I don't fucking know anything. It's so embarrassing.
Is Missouri part of the South or the North?
It's like in the middle. It's the Midwest.
You tell me.
It's not the South. Even though if you get into the boot heel, which I think that you assumed we were in prior to like a week ago, that's when you're getting down to Arkansas.
Arkansas.
Arkansas is house.
Arkansas is house.
Yeah. But how is it being back for you?
What, just the last day? It was good. It was good.
Yeah, I mean, we got in last night at like 8 or 9 o'clock delays.
Yeah, I mean, it was a long day of travel. I was pretty, you know, when you get off a plane and you're like, oh, I'm wide awake. I'm like with it, but then you're kind of also out of it at the same time. Like, you're tireder than you even know.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's kind of what I was. But had Brenna pick me up. It was nice. We had some Thai food when I got back waiting for me, which is
that's nice,
fucking unreal. And then we took a shower. Dude, I don't know what your water pressure situation was in Mexico.
Yeah.
The water pressure at this building is fantastic.
Yeah. They're wasting a lot of water.
It's great.
Yeah.
I want a waterfall. I want fucking Niagara. Just come in.
Yes. It we're very changed. Lucky.
I didn't realize, like, Our so hotel was just three like, spouts.
Yes.
You know you could change it on the thing.
Yeah, but just it gets worse. You think it's like on the worst setting already, and then you twist it, and it's like, oh, this, it's, I guess I should have appreciated what I had.
And then you go back, and it's not the same.
No, it's not. It's never the same.
So I was on that three clicks where I thought it was better.
You took a shower together?
Yeah.
That was like you ate, and then you took a shower together?
Oh, it was awesome. We did this thing where we, what's the bath rub, the
bath rub,
whatever, like the
loofah,
kind of like a loofah, but it has like little exfoliants in it.
Oh, okay.
And we do that to each other's backs, and it's just like a nice thing.
That's nice.
Because you don't wash your, I don't wash my back. I haven't washed
no,
it in 35.
I don't think I've ever washed my back.
Years.
It's not getting washed.
Yeah.
No.
I don't even know.
My legs don't get washed unless I shave them, and that's just because I squeegee them with the. Or I'm getting spray tan off, but I don't ever wash my legs or I don't wash my feet either.
Well, they make that thing for your back.
Yeah, I bought a lot of those. People do like dry scrubs. The amount of time people spend on things that, like, when I start getting on TikTok, that's where I start going, I'm out, because I start thinking I'm not a good enough woman. I'm not like, I don't care about like essential oils. I don't care about exfoliating. I don't do all those things that I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to have I bought like a brush that you're supposed to do like a dry brush first and scrape all the skins while your skin's dry. Noah, do you do all that stuff? Do you do a dry brush?
I just recently started doing one, but it's more for like circulation.
Okay. Yeah. That's what they say too. So what's your shower routine? Like, how do you like prepare your, let's talk about body. Let's like go away from face because that's a whole different
thing.
You
wash your back, Noah? Do you?
You know, I do wash my back. I remember from the U Up days, Anya was like perplexed that you don't wash your legs. And I was like, do I wash my legs? So I always pay attention to just like wash everything ever since that show.
Yeah, I'm just do pits, pussy, ass crack.
So all pits.
And that's all I do. Yeah, all the pits of my body.
Yeah.
I just get those because those are the smelly places. The rest of my skin, like, it doesn't. I don't know. I just don't feel like
I wash
like
our
water
back.
Is
why
enough.
Are we washing anything? Like that, it proves my back doesn't stink like fucking dog shit. Maybe I get it from the soap from washing
my
hair.
That's I feel like if I didn't have all the rundown from the shampoo and the conditioner
the
and everything.
Yeah.
And also shaving my legs does feel squeegee-esque where I put on conditioner just because it's like sometimes I run out of body wash and I just, that is a continual thing that I forget and forget and forget to replenish.
How important is water pressure to you? Do you really get upset if it's too strong because you think it's...
Absolutely, I do. Well, I take really quick showers. Yeah. I get upset just because I know that everyone else is really wasting so much water in here because I know how long men shower to like...
But didn't someone tell us that it gets recycled? That it doesn't matter?
I don't know that that's true, but you can tell yourself that. But yeah, water pressure is so important.
Yeah.
I'm always grateful for it when it's ridiculous, but I
was so happy when I got it today.
Yeah.
Like,
wait, I have a question.
In New York when I would go, yeah.
Sorry. Is it important to you if it's, if the like shower head is just a head or do you need like with the cord?
No cord.
Like handheld?
I've never used a cord. And I think that's where we're talking about getting the back real good is if you have a cord. I always associate the cord with like women being like, I don't need a man. I've got this. Well, and I've never understood how that could be. Yeah.
Why do you like a cord?
I it's necessary to have the handheld one with the cord because I can't get my undercarriage otherwise. I feel like it's not clean.
Well, I just go and then I like cup water and I go like I bring the water to my vagina.
I used that thing as a mic before and done like an hour set and I did okay. And
yeah, yeah, you killed?
I wouldn't say I killed.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know.
There's a lot of pressure in there.
Water pressure.
Shower. Yeah.
Dude, I'm telling you, I would go to New York and when I would look at apartments, my first thing I would do is run to the bathroom and the real estate agent would always look at me like weird a little bit. And I'm like, this is top three, the most important thing.
Were you looking for the mic thing?
Huh? Oh, no. Checking the water pressure.
Oh, yeah. That's so important.
And if it got hot right away.
I did that on this apartment for sure. I ran it. And I remember, the real estate agent kind of being like, what are you doing? It's like, that is so crucial. That's more crucial than like staying at a place to see if there's planes flying overhead or going to wake you up all night or some kind of train going by. Because I can always get white noise, but I can't get white water.
No.
I want to feel like I'm going... like standing under Niagara Falls for pressure. It feels great.
I want a giant pissing on my head. That's what I want.
A giant pissing on your head.
Yeah.
So you got in the shower. You did a scrub down.
Oh, a nice scrub. And then we got in bed. I mean, at that point.
Do you start making love in the shower or does it happen before?
No, we did the bed. We made love. But
after you. But the shower tired, gets you kinky.
I was tired. I wish I was like... I wanted to fucking be ravished. Sometimes I want to just ravish, you know? But my body's radish. Like, huh?
I think you just combined radish and ravage.
Yeah. Which word is it?
Ravage. And you said ravish.
You sure?
Sounds like it's...
Yeah.
Play it back. Word. You'll hear that for sure.
Yeah. Because that's what I said. If you want to hear him say it again.
If you want to hear exactly what you said, I said.
Sometimes you do want to ravage a radish. Sometimes radishes with a little salt on them and like... We used to make this thing called garbage.
Radage. What's that?
I don't know why we called it garbage, but every Sunday when there was golf on and we would go for like a family hike and then we'd come back and my parents would watch golf, which was just very calming just to hear golf in the background and I could just sit and kind of like binge on this. Like we would cut up radishes, green onions, carrots, and celery and you put it in a big bowl with water and you put a bunch of ice in it. So it's like ice cold, all these veggies. And then you do a plate and you put salt on the plate and you take it out and you just swirl it on the plate and just eat. We called it garbage. I don't know why that was called garbage.
No dip?
No dip.
That's wild.
We weren't like trying to diet or anything either. Like, let me be clear. Like, this is a family that was not that way at all. But that was just a thing we did where, and I would hear just golf tones on TV and he's chipping and.
But then when do you hear the celery? Celery is a very loud. All these foods are very loud.
Golfing was so soothing. And then all of a sudden, 2 hours later, it would be tonight on 60 Minutes. I'm Leslie Stahl. I'm Marley Safer. And then it would be like, fuck, homework. Got to go to school tomorrow. That was kind of the Sunday scheme of things. I think,
we watched 60 Minutes. The guy with the eyebrows, he was always
Morley
angry.
Safer. I always say that
what
I
was
the
his
same,
name?
You mean Andy Rooney?
Yeah.
See, what I don't understand is airports. Yeah, he was the first like kind of
Seinfeld.
Disgruntled comic.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Speaking of, this just reminded me of what I wanted to remember last week where I totally lost my train of thought on the show. We were talking about, I think we were probably talking about Ukraine or just like people like making things about themselves. I loved this one post that you sent me of someone who was like calling out comedians. There's a lot of this going on right now on TikTok and Instagram reels of people making fun of celebrities for doing things to make Ukraine about themselves.
Yes.
Because they're like, oh, fuck, I can't post about myself. Like, so they're showed there, you know, there's just a bunch of videos mocking celebrities about how they're going to make it about themselves and like acting like they're tearing up and all this stuff. I just want to say, as a creative person who often writes jokes that is mocking other people, I want to say a lot of times that thing that you're mocking, you think of it because you are the thing. So like, you sent me an example of someone that was like, sorry, comedians, not going to be able to make this about yourself today. Huh, sucks. Something like that. Some edgy fucking tweet. And I knew instantly. Yeah, it was
tweet
a tweet.
Is a noun there? No, it sounded like you using tweet. This freaking tweet over here.
Yeah, this fucking edgy tweet. Oh my God, that is. It almost like, does sound like a derogatory term. So this edgy tweeter, he is like, you know, doing calling out comics. I know the genesis of that observation. He woke up that day wanting to post something about himself and he couldn't. And he thought, it sucks I can't post about myself today. He then felt the embarrassment of having that thought and decided to project it onto others. So I just want to say that when you thy doth protest too much or whatever the Shakespearean slash Taylor Adolf, Swift lyrics thing is.
Adolf takes a test, I think is what's the word.
Adolf takes a test?
I don't know. I doff too much. I couldn't think of anything good. Cut that, Noah, please.
No, I like that. Adolf takes a test. It's like, that's when someone, that's called project. We'll say that when it's projecting now. Adolf takes a test. It's like, it's.
Maybe this is how do you ever do that? Started, by the way.
Because I've seen you do, I've seen your mind, like I sometimes try to trace your mind and how you get to things. And sometimes I'll be like, because I will do it. I will write a joke calling out some behavior that I'm like, I do that. And for instance, models who pretend to eat on camera.
Yes.
Or like, I love pizza. And I did a joke about it where they like take a bite and they say refreshing. And you're like, have you never eaten pizza? That's because I used to be anorexic and not want to eat things on camera. And I used to be fucking like losing my mind about how am I going to do this? And like, I would always want to just, I was scared to have to eat it on camera. Like it came from me being that.
Yeah. Like me making fun of edgy comedians. Part of me, I don't want to go as far as like what my edge character is, but I do think sometimes I'll maybe hold back and there might be a jealousy of their freedom of going where they go.
Yes.
But only some of them, I feel like, do it in a way that's still intelligent and like not just shocking, but actually very funny still.
Yes.
But sometimes I feel like maybe because I feel
it's like an easy way out and they get to do that and you don't get to, let's mock it.
Yeah, like, for sure.
I got to get back into like being a more mindful and like less egotistical. Like I've been just kind of like in this ugly state of mind of just hating things and judging them and being like, ugh. And it's all, if I liked myself and felt confident, I don't care about anyone else. I really don't have a problem with anyone else. Last night, I received some like, just some like light concern or like, just checking in on like, hey, like with this music thing you're doing, like just want to make sure like you're not like you gotta like work really hard at this before you like release stuff. And I like got so defensive of like, of course I know that I'm not gonna release stuff, but I caveat everything that I do music wise with I suck so much and I know that. And any besties that's listening right now that's ever seen me on Instagram Live knows that it is crutched and bookended to the point where people are like, stop saying that. It's so funny because people either say, you're shitting on yourself, just do it. Or they go, God, she thinks she's so good. So you can't really win. So you're not supposed to ever disparage yourself because you're just supposed to like be you. But then the second you do or the second you don't and you're like, hey, I think I sound good. People are like, hey, you know you don't sound good, right? Like, don't put this out. And I'm struggling with like the fact that I'm creating music and I want to share it with not the world and be like, this is my opus and I'm done and I'm as good as Taylor Swift and sign me up for a Grammy. I'm doing everything from like, I'm a 12-year-old that just started. Like I'm 18-year-old Nikki Glaser who just started doing comedy. Like judge me against 1 year doing this. And I was getting so defensive and I just was in this loop of arguing.
Was it a random comedian? Like someone?
No, it was like someone in my, like a close like family.
Oh, okay.
And I was just couldn't stop like just being like, but I want you to know that I know that. And it was just never going anywhere. And then I just, for a second, I'm reading this book called The Pursuit of Happiness or The Art of Happiness by the Dalai Lama. And I was like, wait a second, let me just take my ego out of this and see what it looks like. Like, let me just do an experiment. She was like talking to me about like what her perception of me doing music was and like trying to explain her side of things. And while she was talking, I just kind of drifted off and was like, what is this conversation with not my ego not involved, with me not being mm-hmm. like, but I want her to understand that I'm not this, without me being like, what are people going to say? And honestly, the conversation is moot. It doesn't matter, because what she was coming with of, I'm worried about people thinking one thing about you when you've just, like, it's kind of my mom's concern of when I was in the Gay Straight Alliance in high school, and she was like, people are going to think you're gay. And I'm like, but, and I almost want, I wanted to be gay in high school because I wanted to do, be something that my mom would be like, I could prove that she didn't want me to do this thing that's just who I am, you know, like, it just, because when you're gay, I knew that it was just who you are, and I knew that she would have a problem with it. But she always said her problem was, I don't want other people be judging you, which is a lot of parents who accept their gay kids say that. But that bothered me because it was always like, well, I'm, but this person was explaining to me, Nikki, I just want to protect, I don't, if you want to do what you do and not care what people say, I don't care what people say about you. I know where you're coming from with this. I don't want, I know how sensitive you are when people talk shit about you. I don't want to have to, I don't want to see you go through the pain of people misinterpreting what you're doing and thinking you think you're cool or whatever. And I was like, wow, if I take my, that's all their ego. That's all their, like, worrying about me. Like, their worrying about me is not even my issue. Like, you know, if you take your ego out of things, which is just this new experiment I'm doing, because ego is hard to even understand what it is. It's just a sense of self. It's just thinking that you're an individual who, when you're not really, you're just a big mass of cells that's going to die someday. Sorry. And you may have a soul, but yourself is just a, it's just an illusion. And so when you take that away and you go, what would I feel right now if I didn't, if I really, if there was no stake in this for me of what people thought, what would I do? How would I act? And it's like, I don't know. It was almost like an exorcism. And I was like, this conversation's over. This is all about my ego. I'm being sensitive because I want people to be nice to me, but I also want them to understand that I don't think I'm cool. And it's all ego. And I really want to free myself of that, because it's just,
yeah, but
any argument we've ever gotten in, the second you and I just say, would set aside our egos, mm-hmm. it would be done.
Yeah,
it makes everything cease to, any argument cease to exist. Putin, fucking Trump, anyone who argues with anything, it's all about ego. You're taking from me, you're making me look bad. And it's like, but if you like yourself, no one can make you look bad.
I guess the flip side of that is, like, can ego protect you from, like, I don't know, putting out things, like, for me, like, sometimes I don't have any ego, so I'll just put out anything,
yeah.
You know? So, like, I guess the flip side of that is, like, do I put out shit when it's not good enough to where I could even make it because I have no ego in regards to that? Like, there's a line, I think, between,
oh, right, like where I get mad at you putting something out too soon, where I'm like, oh, if you just, like, tweaked it a little bit, it would be amazing, and you're just rushing it. So maybe have a little bit more ego of thinking what people are going to think. That's interesting.
So, but my point, like, yeah, so with your music, it's like, also, it's like people are putting, doing something outside of whatever their thing is, their fear of that.
Yes.
They're putting that on you.
On you. And if you don't, because last night I was telling her, I was like, I'm okay. People can say Nikki thinks she's sweet, she thinks she sounds good. I know that I don't. I know that, yeah, I think I sound good for a year in.
I think that's getting ahead of it, though, too, where it's like, I don't think you sound like shit.
I think I sound good for a year in. I do. I think I have a lot of promise. If I was a 12-year-old girl that had as much, that was playing guitar for a year and was singing the way I do, I would say, you have a future in this, girl. Like, if you really work hard, you have a future mm-hmm. in this. As a 37-year-old woman, there's no one, like, everyone who listens to me is going to compare me to another 37-year-old woman who's been doing music, because people don't start things like this when they're 37. So there's no context for it. And that's why I continue to contextualize it every time I present it, so that people know, I don't want you to compare me to Taylor Swift or fucking anyone. I have a lot to say about this. Let me just, we'll come back, and I want to talk about ego when I come back.
What about Columbine, though?
We'll get to that as well. Okay. But I want to talk about ego. I had a realization recently. Let's go to break. Have you ever seen a girl with a perfect wardrobe and everything just looks like clean and put together and you know she's not rich and you're like, how is this happening? I swear to God, this bitch knows about Quince. Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at unbeatable prices. I'm talking 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, washable silk tops, and timeless 14-karat gold jewelry. Did you hear me say washable silk tops? Yes, washable. I have a silk dress from them and I did wash it and it still looks great. It is such like a cute piece that I will have forever that just matches with everything. Add some Quince pieces to your wardrobe to just elevate the whole thing. People will think you shop in France. I know you're thinking, well, Nikki, why is Quince so cheap? There's always a reason. Well, it's because they directly partner with top factories. They cut out the middleman and they pass the savings on to you. Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/Nikki for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/Nikki to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/Nikki.
Tired of hair removal tools that just don't cut it? Conair Girl Bomb gives you smooth, flawless results while putting you firmly in control. From achieving that silky smooth skin to boosting your inner confidence, Conair Girl Bomb is all about helping you elevate your self-care game. Whether it's creating a hype playlist, throwing yourself into a hobby, or scheduling some me time, self-care is important to keeping you feeling confident and empowered. It's time to take your hair removal routine to the next level. You can trust Conair Girl Bomb to get the job done right. Conair Girl Bomb gives you the secret weapons for achieving powerful results with ease. Designed with women in mind, these tools boast the Sassy Girl Bomb Grip for unparalleled handling and precision, along with professional-grade blades to deliver results that you used to only get from men's tools. No more compromising. So, to all you incredible women out there, treat yourself to a little Conair Girl Bomb magic. Don't settle for anything less than perfection. Elevate your grooming game with Conair Girl Bomb. Available now at ConairGirlBomb.com or a retailer near you.
The Toolkit Podcast is where your favorite filmmakers come to talk about their craft and process.
I don't want a sloppy angle in my movie ever.
It's like being a dancer. You find the freedom in the structure.
It's where Tarantino, Gerwig, Scorsese, and Jordan Peele discuss their latest films, and showrunners take us behind the scenes of the best of TV.
Hosted by IndieWire's craft team, Toolkit is an award-winning podcast that gets at the heart of what really matters for filmmakers, like Spike Lee.
It comes back to this storytelling. What can I use in my toolbox?
Variety is back with its annual Entertainment Marketing Summit on April 24th at the luxurious Beverly Hilton Hotel in Los Angeles. This must-attend event for entertainment marketers will feature conversations with leaders from Netflix, Paramount, Activision, Mattel, LA Rams, Google, and more. Plus, an exclusive keynote conversation with Paris Hilton. The networking opportunities are unbeatable. And once you register, you can start chatting with other registrants to plan a meetup at the lunch or cocktail hour. Limited tickets are available, so secure your spot today at events.variety.com.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
What I'm saying is that for music, I struggle. And Noah, maybe I like your insight on this too.
Sure.
I'm struggling with... So my friend was telling me, like, this family friend was like of concern about me looking stupid with my music, or me feeling stupid. They don't think I look stupid. They're worried that people are going to say mean things like they did with the Bob Saget thing. And she saw how that made me sad, like how they like made fun of me and made me a little sad and angry and want to act out and respond to it. And she just didn't like seeing that it made me sad. And so she's looking out for me in the future if I ever release something to get ahead of that. And I've just, you know, received a bunch of tracks that I recorded in January with Anya and Matt that I worked like a week on. And it was just for fun. I even made sure that they knew I was maybe never going to release these because I just want to see what happens. And the thing I'm struggling with is when I started in stand-up, because she was telling me, well, when you started at stand-up, you weren't like putting this stuff out there all the time. And to be honest with you, when I started in stand-up, I was not like other stand-ups. And I'm going to say I've never met another stand-up that was like me and did not accept guest sets early on, never asked people to come see her, never asked friends to come see her, would never put a clip online, wouldn't audition for things because I didn't think I was good because I knew it takes 7 years to get mm-hmm. good. I read the books. I listened to the podcast. I knew the rules. No one's going to avoid that. But then I auditioned for Last Comic Standing because, and I know this sounds like, yeah, right. I wanted to go on a trip with my friends. They got a van. We're going to go to, and all I wanted was to audition because I had been doing it a year and a half. And I wanted them to say, you show a lot of promise, but you're too young, because I knew there's no way I should belong on Last Comic Standing. But I didn't, you can ask any of the guys I went with. I did not want to audition. I fought it. There were guys that, along my career, I got asked to do guest sets for so many headliners who probably did want to bang me, but also did think I was funny. And I turned down guest sets all the time, which is unheard of. But and it's not a good thing. I'm not saying that's a good thing. I've just always felt I wasn't good enough until I just wait. And when I remember when I got Last Comic Standing, when I auditioned, I got a little cocky on stage because I did have a good set. I heard the two judges go, Nikki, you're good, but you're just not ready for this show. And I said I'd doing 2 years. I'd been doing it one. And they're like, it's just not long enough. And I was walking off the stage and one of the other judges said to the other, man, I really like her. And the other one goes, well, I could be convinced. And I ran back on stage and I said, can I do one more joke? Because the truth was I didn't get all my jokes in and I knew I had one joke and I knew it'd be a funny, I don't know what. So I did get cocky in that one moment and I went back up and I went and made it to the night show. Then at the night show, I probably told the story before, but it's worth repeating because it's fucking insane. I go to the night show. So everyone that waited in line in Chicago in 2006, hundreds of comedians, if not thousands, the night show was just 25 to 30. And none of the guys that I went in my van with who were always all better than me at that time, without question, none of them made it. Maybe one did. And we all go to the night show and then only three people are chosen. And it's me, John Roy, and Jerry D. And on the night show was Jimmy Pardo, who was like, they were following him around with cameras all day, all night. Like, he was clearly the one that they were like, he's the big guy. Mm-hmm. And Jimmy Pardo's one of the funniest people that's ever existed. And was so at this time, like, had been doing comedy for probably 15 years at that point. And it was so fucking embarrassing because I knew I sucked and I was getting ahead of Jimmy Pardo. Like, it's not like I was good for how long I've been doing it, but that's not what that show's about. Mm-hmm. It's not like American or, Last Comic Standing, who's good for how long they've been doing it. And I remember, though, when I got the ticket to go to California to, like, you're going to Hollywood. Oh, my God, it was so awkward. That's a whole other story that I'm saving for my book of, like, that night and how embarrassing it was to go upstairs and see everyone that didn't make it. And they saw this girl who's been doing it a year who clearly sucked, didn't even know how to stay in the spotlight on stage, like, no skills. And how embarrassing that was and what happened in that whole thing, which Jimmy Pardo and I have had like a tumult. Like, I've always been a huge fan of his and I was so scared of him for a while because I thought he hated me because I got this whole thing happened backstage. But I love him so, so, so much now and always did. Anyway, I remember calling Tommy John again when I got back to KU. And I again? Was like, I'm going, what? Oh, what do you mean? Oh, Tommy John again. If you don't know who Tommy John again is, he's honestly
he's really funny, man.
He's John Mulaney funny.
Yeah.
Like he and John Mulaney had been doing it probably a year longer than me. And they were always the ones that were like, Jesus Christ, this guy. Aziz had been doing like probably 3 or 4 years.
But there's got to be a percentage of you that thinks that you do deserve it.
No. No, but here's what I did.
Or that you wanted to get it.
No, I promise you, all I wanted was them to say, good job. This is like.
So what do you want from music?
But let me just finish the story. Yeah, so Tommy going. John again, I called him. I remember I was walking into Dylan's in Lawrence, Kansas to go get like some fucking anorexic food. And I was walking in and I was on the phone. I was like, Tommy, I made it through. And he is just so much better than me at this point and like was the guy that I like wanted to be as good as. And I remember him saying, Nikki, if I were you, I wouldn't go. You're just not like, he's like literally with my set of skills, like I wouldn't go to Hollywood. Like I would turn it down. It's just going to be, it's a too big of a platform and you're too young. We both had a good enough self-awareness. And I remember just being like, but that's, But do you turn? That's why I get so mad when people are like, this girl keeps getting all these things, or this guy gets all these things. Noah, you're frozen, so we can't see you. This guy, she got this stuff. And it's like, is she supposed to turn it down? If the industry is handing you things, even when you don't ask for them, are you supposed to turn it down? And so my question is that when I'm making music, I could go to open mics and wear a wig and like go as someone else and start totally fresh. But when I have my best friends who have been doing music for 25 plus years and they write songs for me and want to go record them for me, and I have the extra money and the free weekend to go make some music in a studio, even though I know I'm really bad, do I turn that down? And if I get a final product that sounds like, wow, this is like, it's like painting with Monet's paints, but you've just started painting. Are you supposed to go, I'm not allowed to use Monet's paints. I'm bad, so I'm going to use Crayola crayons. Sorry.
No.
Am I supposed to turn that stuff down? And if I have those recordings and everything except my voice sounds great, and maybe my voice sounds C on a terms of the stuff sounding like an A, am I supposed to not put that out because I haven't discovered my true voice? Or do I get to put things, because young comics put things out all the time on TikTok and get millions of views, and they're at the shitty open mic, their stage presence is terrible, their outfit is bad, their jokes are way worse than they think, and I go, ugh, don't do this, this is how we're gonna remember you. Or do I just say, fuck it, I think this sounds good, a couple people I ran this by sounds good enough, I'm trying this for the first time, I know you're gonna make fun of me, here we go. There's no way for me to do this the same way I approach stand-up, is what I'm saying. There's no grassroots for me to do, except I am performing just for besties on my Instagram. I'm not asking like my comedy fans to like watch me. I continually tell the besties, if anyone ever goes, where's the comedy? I kick them out of the room, because I'm like, this is for people who know what I'm doing. So I don't want to be that person that everyone's like, Nikki's going crazy, and like, we need to have an intervention that she thinks she's sweet. What am I supposed to do with these recordings?
I think the Bob Saget song, and like the idea of him dying and then putting out a song, is a completely different thing than just like.
No, that was a thing that I never planned. Unless he died, I would have never released.
No,
that.
I understand, but I'm saying that people's perception.
Right, which I'm over that. I don't care at all.
But I'm saying though, if the woman is coming to you. This whoever, this family friend, yeah, and is comparing the two.
Yeah.
It's a different thing. That's my point. My point is the Bob Saget thing.
No, I'm talking about new recordings that like might not
be
great.
I understand that. But that's not the same thing as putting out a song after someone dies. And from the outside looking in, can be seen as like, what is it? I don't understand this.
Right. But
because it was so out of left.
Let's just talk about me with the song,
but I'm
new
saying,
songs.
No, so put that aside. But I'm saying that's why that woman or.
Yeah.
Was doing that. Because of the hate you got for that.
Yes.
I don't think you'll get as much hate if you're like, hey, here's a self-recorded song that I... It's two different things.
But do you feel that way about like doing new
stuff?
Do you
see what I'm saying though?
I do. That's why I'm saying it is a new thing. So I'm saying like... So you're right. Like the fear that they have of me getting the backlash is not going to be the
same. You're not going to get it from fucking putting out fucking...
That's so funny because I thought that the backlash would be less because this was motivated by a real emotion as opposed to just me being like, the beach was warm on a Sunday night.
Like,
you know what I mean?
I know. In your mind, you would think, oh, no, this is just
emotion. I'm sorry to go off so much. I'm just having trouble having these people understand. Yeah.
Okay, so...
Please.
I'm going to say something a little bit different than what you're saying. And I think if you approach it as this person came to me, if you just try to see it through this person's perspective, maybe she knows that you care a lot about what people think of you, and that's why she came to you. Now, aside from that, I think sometimes we have a tendency to create these monsters, is what I call them, where we give a lot of meaning and like a narrative to something that doesn't quite exist, but maybe we just give too much to it, like the negative comments and all of that. I think it's just like a monster that we create. It's not an actual thing that exists. And I would tell you to read that Feeling Good book, because I think you're having a lot of mental distortions about singing, and what you're doing is like, he has five in there, and I just looked up mental filter, which is you pick out a negative detail in any situation and dwell on it exclusively, thus perceiving that whole situation as negative.
Right. So you take a detail and then you blow this little balloon that was in a packet of balloons. And now you think all of these little balloons, when they come in a packet, are just the same size. And then you blow up one and that's the only one you're seeing out of all those balloons. And I think it's becoming the whole thing. Yeah, that's classic CBT. And there's so many apps that help you like do this now that I get marketed all the time because they know I do this. I think you're right.
And then,
Noah, I think what... Okay, yeah.
I was going to say one last thing. This was an article that we had in the news that Andrew never got to, and I wish that you would have seen it. About
calling
Bono.
Calling out my news stuff. Okay.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
It was about Oh, yeah. Bono said that his stuff is trash.
Right. Like, he says that he can't even listen to the first...
Billy Joel feels that way, too.
Like, the first, like, I don't know how many albums... that U2 put out. He said, I hated my voice then. I love my voice now. I can't even go back and listen to it.
Yes. And that's the way I feel about my old stand-up. But I do see it and I go, there's something there. And how cool that I get to see that my journey to becoming what I am now is online for other people who are starting out their journeys to see like, wow, she was not as good as she is now. Like what I used to love looking for, like Sarah Silverman Young, like anyone young, because I knew that I shouldn't compare myself to them now, even though I was doing that. I just want to say one last thing and then thank you so much for letting me process this. I am paranoid about people, and this is the balloon thing. This is the cognitive distortion. Ever since I was anorexic in high school and all my friends stopped talking to me and everyone talked about me behind my back, they went to the school. They went to the counselor. I got pulled out of class. And all of a sudden, this thing that everyone was talking about and no one came to me about, which was, Nikki, you're not eating. You are crazy to think that this is like a thing that's going to work for you, i.e. music, Nikki, is a crazy thing to think this is going to work for you, much like my diet back then. And we're not going to go to you about it because we don't want to, like, it's too embarrassing to tell you that this is what we're noticing and that you're not seeing it. And it's like... we're like all kind of worried about you. We're going to go to the top. We're going to come together and create an intervention where you're going to get pulled out of class. And all of us are still not going to talk to you about it afterwards. We're just going to, I'm just scared that there's a thing brewing where I just want to stay. I don't want to be one of those people on American Idol that's like, hi, hi. And then everyone's just like, oh, honey, has no one ever told you this is terrible? Like,
but it's not everyone, because there are people who really enjoy...
Music is subjective.
Yeah, the music thing, too, it's like, how many artists, the first album's the best album? I mean, Bono says that about himself, yet I would say 95%
like
of people know. No. But my point being is like, number one, like, when these people hate their old shit, you just hate your old shit because you were just tired of your old shit. Millions of people love that.
Yeah.
Shit.
And I know that millions of people would like, not millions, but I know thousands of people would think the songs that I made are pretty damn good. Now, this girl that confronted me she is like, those songs, I would never listen to them. I don't like them. They're not good to me. And I said to this girl, and she was really scared to tell me that. And I'm like, she's like, you sound fine, but the songs are bad, like not what
I
would
like. Oh, you played the songs for her?
Yes. I sent them to my family. I got this feedback. She's like, I just don't like these songs. And she thought that it took a really long time to get to that part of the conversation. She was so scared to tell me that. And I go, first of all, I didn't write them. I like these songs though. And I'm taking about as much offense to that as you telling me and my friend, I go, you know what? That doesn't bother me at all, because guess what? My favorite song, you hate.
Yeah.
And I had a prime example of one song that she, like, a separate from me ever bringing up the song, was like, God, you know what song I fucking hate that everyone loves? And she said the song and I go, that is so ironic. That is my favorite, one of my top 10 favorite songs.
Yeah.
So I don't care if people don't like my music. I just don't want to be a tone deaf, like, idiot that no one likes it. But I do understand that, like, because they were like, you know, Nikki, if you put this out, people are going to be like, people, when they think of, you know, a 37-year-old pop star or someone who's trying to get into indie rock or whatever you're trying to do, they think of Taylor Swift, they think of Katy Perry, and they're going to compare you to them. And I'm like, but what about Bob? I'm not comparing myself to Bob Dylan. Their voices, and your voice isn't there. And I'm like, my voice is never going to be Katy Perry's. It's never going to be Taylor Swift's. It might be Taylor Swift's, to be honest with you. It's never going to be Shakira's. It's never going to be Gaga's. It's going to be Liz Phair. It's going to be, you know, Bob Dylan, who doesn't sound good at all. And, you know, I don't... This person was worried that they're going to people are going to compare me to Lady Gaga and be like, she can't hit Adele's notes or whatever. It's like,
but you're doing it again.
Of music that you enjoy that it's not Adele. What?
You're doing it again where you're saying people, like everybody. You can't.
But that was this was her saying that. Yeah. And okay. I even said, like, yeah. So she, I know that.
She doesn't know what someone 5 miles away from her who has a completely different life.
Yeah,
will think of your music and how they would hear your voice. Like, they might hear you as a Liz Phair, but they might also hear you as a Lady Gaga. You just don't know.
Yes.
The other thing, I mean, I'm not trying to be a dick, but like, it's like, if you want someone to come up to you about like your anorexia, like, right, like you weren't, were you putting out? And it's not up to them to be like, I don't care.
What I want is if I play a song for someone and they're like, Nikki, you have potential for a year in. This is good. That's all I want. For a year in, this is definitely like where you need to be. But this, I think you have so much before you put this out. The way that I say about pictures that you put out,
you
should edit it.
If I went up to you in high school and go, look, you're skinny now, but if you stick with this, you could be even skinnier.
Yes.
That would have been cool.
No, in high school, that's a different story. You know, Andrew, I'm just saying where it comes from.
I get that. But my point being is like, you know, if you can't, like, people might think that you can't take criticism well because it's not easy to tell someone.
That's what I said at the end of my conversation. I said, well, you're right. Because this person was like, if you get offended when people don't say the right thing or they say the wrong thing, because I'm like, I don't want you to go, oh my God, Nikki, you should release this now. People are going to lose their fucking minds. I just want people to say, for a year and this is good, I need to contextualize it better and say, hey, I'm about to play this song for you. All I want to know is if I'm crazy that a year in, this is decent. That's what I wanted. And I just need to give that so that that person, or like, you know, in terms of like anorexia, all I wanted was someone to go, hey, I'm a little bit worried about you. And if we can't talk about this in a real way and you are continuing to make excuses, I'm going to go to Miss Price.
Well, here's you played those two songs for me when I was in that room.
It was a bad context.
It was a bad. It was just bad timing to play them. We're listening to it on a phone where you can't even fucking.
This
hear
wasn't
it.
About that, by the
no,
way.
No,
this really wasn't.
I know, but I'm just saying, as someone that is a friend of yours who listens to your music, who then feels like, can I approach you in a way that tells you that this song it's not doing it for me. This song is.
Yeah.
And I am honest with you about your voice, like. When the other day we sang the opening to your reality show, your voice sounded fucking fantastic.
Yeah.
And your voice is really good.
No, I know that you're capable
and
of giving
I
me
feel
good
like
compliments.
That it's not being utilized, or your writing skills isn't being utilized, or how the song is being played. And I know that these 8 or 9 songs that you made, that you spent time,
but
you
I
want
like,
these.
But no. I like that because I know that was a collaborative thing. So my cognitive dissonance can, or my little gymnastics I can do is like, okay, everything you had wrong with it wasn't my fault, or the things you had wrong with it are about me not just doing it long enough.
Sure.
And upset about you saying nothing was really my bad in not contextualizing the delivery of that in the moment in a way that you felt comfortable saying whatever you could say, and that had nothing, again, ego. So wrapped up in it, needed to hear just that was pretty good. That's like all I wanted, but didn't know that's all I wanted. You thought that the bar was like you had to only say nice things, and any criticism that you had to be, you know, squashed, when really it was open for that. And it really, like, but I just need to set it up so that people feel comfortable because as a boss, as someone who has a room of people that I'm employing, I forget that they feel, and I'm someone who can't like just shoot from the hip and just say hurtful things or not take things okay in one
And I can
minute.
Do that too. I get defensive, especially about my art.
It always comes back to me and my fucking ego, and that's why I had to check it. And like I realized last night, because I was talking about that moment I shared that moment with my friend and was like, oh yeah, like there was a time I played these songs and, you know, Andrew didn't say literally anything in that. And then they said, well, if he would have said something, you would have said, he shouldn't have even said that. You know what would be better? If he said nothing. And so he can't win. And I'm like, yes, yeah, so fucking right. Whenever like you'd say to someone, no. Whenever you say to someone, like, why did they say that? And you have the line, they could have just said nothing. Think about what nothing would feel like, because it did not feel good. But the truth is, you were not given the opportunity to say anything. You felt anything you said was going to be wrong. So you chose to say nothing because I didn't allow for that. And it was not your fault. It was not something that I'm glad that we talked about it. And I felt so good as soon as like we exchanged texts about it. And I felt so fine about it. And I only brought it up later to share like what I had learned in my conversation and with you, is that was my bad of not being the type of, and I'm working on this so much, of like being someone that people can be honest with and not having them fear my response, because it's just, I hate people like that, man. It sucks when you can't tell your friends how you really feel. And I want to say to you and to like Noah and to like any of my friends listening or besties even, I'm trying to get better with criticism and honesty, because I want to be someone who, and that's why I try to apologize when I do have those like fucking flip outs where, you know, when you're backed into a corner, your fight or flight response thing just comes in sometimes. And I just don't have a choice but to just get defensive and like, you know, sometimes I just really don't have a choice. It's just like my anger takes over. You know what I'm saying? And the ego. And I don't have a choice. And what I do have a choice over, though, is acknowledging it as soon as I can. As soon as I have that fucking flush
tough.
Come over me of embarrassment of how I just acted. But taking that moment and not sticking to it and just saying, I'm embarrassed for how I just acted.
But
that's
on the flip
part.
Side, like people are aware of like the situation. Like you're on a show, Perfect Strangers 2, where you're the lead actor, where you have to have confidence. You have to think what you're doing, whether you think it's great or whatever it is. You have to have, you're standing in front of 100 fucking people. So
you have to have false confidence sometimes. You have to have that. And you have to have people around you kind of lying to you and building you up.
But it does bring out good stuff. It really does.
It does. But it can also do we watch Kanye. Like it can go out of control. Like I'm mitigating against becoming a Kanye where I think everything I do is fucking brilliant and everyone has to always kiss my ass all the time. And then I end up forgetting Cootie's name at the Grammy party.
Yeah, but on the flip side of that, is you don't need to apologize for doing something that you enjoy, and you don't have to feel fucking sorry for it or feel like you have to fucking contextualize it for people that don't understand.
Right.
So it's a balance.
It's the balance.
But you know what? It's like, it's also like, let's not make everything like grandiose. Like it's like you're doing something. You're doing something you enjoy.
I'm just doing something I enjoy. And like same with you with golf. Like, you might feel silly if you were to compete or like sign up for a tournament. Huh. Like, what am I going to do? Really, I'm going to do this. But you know what? It's fucking challenges are fun.
Yeah.
Like Chris is going to play in a paddleball tournament this weekend. And I'm so fucking excited that I get to go like cheer him on in a thing that in the end, nothing matters. And this thing it is official, but it's low level. He's like, you know, I signed in as a, like whatever level, I'm probably not even that good, but we'll see. It just makes raising the stakes a little bit and thinking you might be good enough to actually compete, whether it's with music, whether it's with it's and maybe you'll fucking be so humiliated, but at least you took a chance. Brene Brown, someone sent me this when I was talking about this very same thing about the Bob Saget thing. Someone sent me the Brene Brown quote of like that I saw her do in her Netflix special. I don't want any criticism from people who aren't playing in the same arena as me. I'm putting myself in an arena of people. The people that critique me, unless you are putting yourself out there just as much as me and risking looking stupid, shut the fuck up. And essentially that was it. Like, I don't want criticism from people who are, you know, Natasha Leggero, I posted a joke of hers yesterday where she's in her stand-up, she's talking about like guys nowadays are sitting on the toilet going, I never fuck her.
Yeah.
You don't get to say whether you'd fuck her because you're on a toilet being a disgusting human that would never, you're not in her league. So you don't get to comment on that. You can all day, but we don't have to we don't have to have our feelings hurt by that bullshit. And I'm truly, when I say all this stuff, I'm
just kidding.
Let's move on to the news.
All of that.
All of it. I was just kidding the whole time. Noah, can we get one news story in?
Yeah.
You heard it here first. Yeah, you heard it here first.
What day is it, Andrew?
It's Wednesday, folks. You know what that means? It is Wednesday. We're coming live from you from the St. Lou. We're proud and we're having a good time.
Are you falling asleep?
For a second. Hope you're having all the swells.
I know it's been a long show.
Hope you're having all the swells because your boy is getting a little sleepy. But
you're
in mourning
over there with this outfit's cool, by the way.
It was all an accident. It was all an accident.
I almost want you to go, like, you got to watch the YouTube.
How cool are these shoes,
we're back in the studio, by the way, so the video is going to be fucking.
Do you love these?
Legit.
I love these.
Yeah, love. Dope. They almost look like Yeezys, kind of.
They're called Nike Free Metcon. So
no,
the front is for running, the back is
cool
for
as fuck.
Still.
Let's get to the news.
Yeah, it's all black. All black everything.
How about I try to do the news?
Noah's wearing a sweatshirt that you gave me
like
it.
2 years ago that I love.
It's so cute.
I remember you wearing that.
I fucking love it so much. And I'm wearing a Swiftie sweatshirt.
How about I do the news headlines rapid fire? You get like one thing to say about it.
Yes. Okay.
Okay.
One sentence each.
Yep. All right. Pandemonium erupts at a theater as moviegoer releases a bat during a screening of Robert Pattinson's new Batman film as part of a prank attempt.
That makes me so upset because that poor fucking bat.
I wish Tiger King was a movie because then it would be funnier to release a tiger. But
yeah, okay, that's good.
I was thinking Catwoman, but a cat.
I just
really
hate any pranks involving a fucking animal, and especially a bat they're so sensitive.
Oh, that bat's gonna probably get killed.
Oh, already it's gonna be killed if it's manhandled enough to go into a movie theater.
The bat wasn't killed.
The bat survived.
Wins again.
That's too much. It's too much anxiety for a bat.
I do
bats
see
are
that
so
movie.
Sensitive. I know that about bats.
I want to see that movie.
Well, they
I'm wishing that bat a lot of luck.
They couldn't catch the bat, so they offered the moviegoers their money back, but they all most of them decided to stay in the theater with the bat to finish the movie.
Oh, that's cute.
That's kind of cool.
I love that. Okay, next headline.
Well, some people are terrified of bats, though. Okay, next headline.
Okay. F-Boy Islands. Garrett Murawski says his passport showing Russia as his birthplace led to airport detention in Mexico.
Wait, whoa, what?
Yeah, I watched a video on TMZ.
What was he doing?
Garrett says...
Oh, yeah, I've seen him. He was in Mexico recently. I saw him.
I wonder why.
Gallivanting on Instagram. Garrett. It caused because he had a Russian passport. They're like, get out of here. And he looks terrifying. I think his stature. But he is Russian. His origin is Russian.
Exactly.
It says Russia on it.
Was he like, did he talk like this when he said it? I fucking love Garrett so much. Interesting. You know, I've heard about the Russian Tea Room, that it's really struggling in New York City. Everyone should support Russian restaurants around town because, let me be honest, most Russians are not supporting this war and are terrified of Putin just as much as we are. Really, everyone should be supporting Russian-owned businesses right now so much because so many people are doing the same thing that happened with fucking the China flu and not ordering from Chinese restaurants when COVID happened. Let's make up for the dum-dums out there and order Russian things, including Garrett.
Order all Garrett. The oil and guns. From Russia.
No, any Russian restaurant, which I don't even know if Russian restaurants exist, but like any Russian business, support them right now because if they're clearly identified as Russian, people are avoiding them right now to make some sort of statement.
He is
and
afraid
these are
to, he's
immigrants
afraid to leave the
that
country.
Left Russia to come here. So they get it. They don't like Russia either.
I think I'm right a little now. Bit Russian.
Yeah.
Don't come at me though.
And I love Russians. My best friend's Russian, Anya.
Okay, next story. Ready?
Great.
Okay, we're doing great here. Research indicates that doing this daily habit could slash your risk of a deadly stroke by 48%. Can you guess what it is?
Daily habit.
Masturbating?
Taking aspirin.
Close. Meditating every day.
Oh, fuck. 48% of a massive stroke?
Yeah.
And damn,
I don't get
I'm getting
stats,
back into it, dude. I gotta get back into
stats?
It.
I don't understand.
Because they look at people who've had massive strokes and they see whether or not they were practicing meditation, and then they look at people that didn't, and they look, you know, they just look.
Yeah, that's but people easy. That are unhealthy probably don't meditate.
Exactly. So there's other factors, but I want to say that that's pretty. I've just never heard there. I've actually heard of bad things about meditation. Some people can get kind of a psychosis from it, so you got to watch out. And most meditation apps and things of the sort have those kind of warnings up front. But I'm not meditating right now, and it's definitely something that I'm getting to the point with all the things I'm talking about right now are me going like, girl, you know what you need to do. Yep. You need to get back in touch with like yourself and what that means, and like you need to calm down. You need to calm down. And not get a massive stroke.
I mean, it's gotta be insane to be meditating and then feel a stroke like or anything like that. I mean, there's some Buddhists that can, they know when their heart is going to stop.
They can control their heartbeat.
So I guess the idea is like, if you're that mindful that you could actually somewhat control your brain to not have a stroke.
Or just know the signs of it, feel its signs before it happens. But I think you're right. People that meditate are usually eating healthier, worried about breathing clean air, those kinds of things.
Yeah, I've never heard a guy be like, fuck freedom fries, and then be like,
let's go to break and come back with the Esther
on
Perel
my
game.
Fries, fried food.
Andrew!
Tired of hair removal tools that just don't cut it? Conair Girl Bomb gives you smooth, flawless results while putting you firmly in control. From achieving that silky smooth skin to boosting your inner confidence, Conair Girl Bomb is all about helping you elevate your self-care game. Whether it's creating a hype playlist, throwing yourself into a hobby, or scheduling some me time, self-care is important to keeping you feeling confident and empowered. It's time to take your hair removal routine to the next level. You can trust Conair Girl Bomb to get the job done right. Conair Girl Bomb gives you the secret weapons for achieving powerful results with ease. Designed with women in mind, these tools boast the Sassy Girl Bomb Grip for unparalleled handling and precision, along with professional-grade blades to deliver results that you used to only get from men's tools. No more compromising. So, to all you incredible women out there, treat yourself to a little Conair Girl Bomb magic. Don't settle for anything less than perfection. Elevate your grooming game with Conair Girl Bomb. Available now at ConairGirlBomb.com or a retailer near you.
The Toolkit Podcast is where your favorite filmmakers come to talk about their craft and process.
I don't want a sloppy angle in my movie ever.
It's like being a dancer. You find the freedom in the structure.
It's where Tarantino, Gerwig, Scorsese, and Jordan Peele discuss their latest films, and showrunners take us behind the scenes of the best of TV.
Hosted by IndieWire's craft team, Toolkit is an award-winning podcast that gets at the heart of what really matters for filmmakers, like Spike Lee.
It comes back to this storytelling. What can I use in my toolbox?
Variety is back with its annual Entertainment Marketing Summit on April 24th at the luxurious Beverly Hilton Hotel in Los Angeles. This must-attend event for entertainment marketers will feature conversations with leaders from Netflix, Paramount, Activision, Mattel, LA Rams, Google, and more. Plus, an exclusive keynote conversation with Paris Hilton. The networking opportunities are unbeatable. And once you register, you can start chatting with other registrants to plan a meetup at the lunch or cocktail hour. Limited tickets are available, so secure your spot today at events.variety.com.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like Eco-Eye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light. Catch all 7 rounds, 3 days, live from Detroit, April 25th to 27th, with NFL Network Draft coverage presented by Verizon and on ABC, ESPN, ESPN Deportes, and streaming on NFL Plus. It all starts Thursday, April 25th at 8 p.m. Eastern. Visit NFL.com/draft for more information. Lowe's knows home improvement. Lowe's, official sponsor for the 2024 NFL Draft.
All right, we're back. It's Wednesday, so we're doing Wild Card Wednesday. Noah, the game today is the Esther Perel game. Esther Perel, where should we begin?
I like
one
that
card is...
I like that in our text, your text came Esther Perez.
Perez, yes. Esther Parcel. Yes, Esther Perel, or Purell hand sanitizer. She has a game out. Where should we begin? Yep. Good for conversations, just little prompts. One thing is going to be the sentence that we start with, and the other thing will be what the sentence or story we tell is about.
Right.
Or like, you know, inspired by.
Yep.
Yes.
Okay, so the prompt card is share something off the record, and then I miss the days when I could.
Okay, that's great. Off the record, something that you probably don't normally share with people that you maybe are a little bit closed off about. Okay,
something you don't talk about.
I wish the days where I could
miss the days.
I miss the days where I could. I'll say this is off the record because it sounds like gloating when you say this, but I miss the days when I could begin a new hobby and and do it in a way that, you know, I miss the days where strangers didn't know who I was sometimes, because it feels weird having strangers think they've got you figured out when you're like, most people.
Was that something you do? Is that what it was?
No, it's off the record.
Okay.
Yeah, I miss the days when I could go about my life and I'm so grateful that I'm someone that strangers know, because obviously I have this, but there are parts of me that miss the days when I could just do things and it was just my friends talking shit about me, and at least they know me well enough and like that they kind of have a right to do it, I guess. But also, I don't miss those days because I get so much better stuff from not that. So, do you have one?
I mean, I'm just thinking, it's not so much off the record.
Yeah.
But just, I literally miss the days where I could run freely without worrying about being hurt every 3 seconds. I think it's really sad.
That's a good.
That my fucking hamstring tore that one time, and I literally am like, I don't think about it that much, but when I do,
things tense up.
Yeah, well, I just get sad thinking like, oh, I can't go out and play basketball without thinking that I'm going to be like laying down on the ground fucking crying.
So if you can do those things, remember, just go do them.
Oh my God.
That's why I always take the stairs, because old people say someday, not for the exercise, but someday you won't be able to go upstairs. Just do them now while you can.
Ah.
And I always think about that, but I think that with your hamstring thing, you're getting back in like really good shape. Mm-hmm. You're an NBA natural born athlete. I think that the hamstring thing, you only fucked it up last time when you were trying to impress your girlfriend, and like it was.
No, but I fucked it up playing football. I fucked it up two other times since then.
But it's always been when you know you shouldn't and you'd go a little hard. So
but
if you baby
I should,
it,
I, but that's what I miss.
Oh, you miss being able to just go hard whenever you want.
When I know I shouldn't.
Yeah, when you know you shouldn't.
Yeah. Without any worries. There's something so much like, I still remember like when I was a kid, like I lived really free until my parents divorced.
Mm.
And I still like remember like I was confident with this like happy.
Those things you can go back to.
Yeah.
But that's why I always tell smokers when they're like, I'm a smoker. It's like, there was a time where you weren't a smoker. You can go back to that the same way that people think about death. It's like, I'm scared to die. And it's like, well, what were you before you were born? That's what's going to happen again. You've already done it.
Yeah.
It's just going to go back to a thing. You can always go back to the way it was. And I think that that's the beauty in growing older, is that you kind of revert back to being a kid, and your parents kind of like die. You get your own family. You stop looking to them for stuff. But I miss the days when I didn't count calories or look at food as bad or good.
Day where it changed, because I remember the day, because my parents divorced, I kind of, you know,
that's so interesting though.
What was the day divorce? Like one day you woke up and your brain changed.
Yes. Well, it forever. Was a, you know, it was a day where I remember Jamie Nash saying, you look so thin, what did you do? And I was like, what did I do? I remember where I was sitting and I go, I didn't eat today because I was nervous about a boy, but I didn't know I didn't eat. I wasn't trying not to eat. And I was just like, huh, that felt really good hearing Jamie Nash, who is my favorite person, who I wanted to be more than anyone, thought I looked cute and skinny. And I was just like,
but
and
you not eating on purpose.
No, it was just because a boy that I liked so much finally was taking an interest in me, and I got so nervous that I was going to kiss him. It was my senior year. I was just like, I always don't eat. When I get nervous, which is rarely happens now, I lose my appetite. And that day, it showed up like that.
It's wild, though. This is like wild shit because
what else can I do? And then I started reading books, and I started, but I remember being in fourth grade and seeing a plate of brownies that my mom had just cooked and coming in from playing with my friends. It was like probably 9 o'clock and 8 o'clock, running in, seeing the brownies, having one after dinner and then wanting another and not doing it. Not because I wanted to lose weight. I was already a skinny child, but because that's what women do. Mm. Women don't let themselves have two. And I wanted to be a woman. I also remember Charlie Poppelstein telling me he loved me at recess via Michael Olson. Michael Olson came up to me and was like, it was in third grade. He was a new student. I was kind of a new student. We were best friends. And he was starting to act a little weird. And then one day Michael Olson was like, hey, Charlie loves you. And I thought that Michael Olson said that Charlie said I had chubby legs. Don't ask me why, but that's what I heard. And I ran with it because I was so excited to be a woman who was like, I'm fat. And I remember my neighbor Kate Donahue coming to pick me up because she would pick up for my mom sometimes, and she picked us up, and I was sitting on the railroad track, like tracks around the playground, and I was just like crying and like trying to fake cry like a woman who feels fat does. And she was like, what's wrong, Nick, what's going on? And I was like, Michael Olson told me that Charlie Poppelstein said I had chubby legs. And she goes, get the fuck out of here, get in the car. I remember her being, she didn't say fuck, but she was just like, you're not getting to do that. And I was just like, damn it, I got caught. Like, it was almost like I had a fake ID because I was just like the tiniest child. But I did it because I wanted to be a woman, not because I thought I was fat. I thought that's what you do when you're a woman. And that is fucked. Noah, do you have one?
The one that came to mind is I miss the days when I could go on like we called it the ledge, but it was the fire escape at my best friend's house when I was a kid. And we would just go down to Mr. Kim's grocery store and just buy like a bunch of snacks. And we would just like sit on the fire escape and just eat them.
Mr. Kim's, where you hid.
Yeah, exactly.
As a child.
I used to love going to Mr. Kim's.
Oh, that sounds so fun.
So we just, you know, like.
Do you miss the friends?
This was like I had one friend that I made in third grade. It was like a year into being in this country. And she was my friend until like end of high school. And I just like loved going to her house. Like her dad was a plumber and he had all these pipes everywhere and we would find like coins. So we would do like just look for money to go down and get snacks and just like sit on the fire escape. And I think I missed that because like I feel like today you couldn't do that. You know, there would be like your parents would get fined or something like that. It's like I guess I missed the days when I could be carefree, which is kind of like what you guys are saying.
Yeah, it's kind of like what we're all going to. Like,
savings?
Let's all try to do something today that we...
Stole from a plumber his savings.
Yeah, that's what she misses.
She misses being a thief of a plumber who's working hard, blue-collar job, and Noah just takes his...
I miss snacks and friends, too. And, you know, going in the creeks.
Star Crunch.
And the creeks for me were the fire escapes, like running through the creeks in my neighborhood and like just going to places that as a kid now or as an adult you can't go hang out on the rooftop or like sneak out the like you can do all these things but like we don't. So let's I don't know, I want to do something today that my intuition is telling me don't do because that you don't do that anymore. And but don't get physically hurt, but like let's all do something and indulge a little bit in the way it was.
Yeah, climb a tree.
Yeah,
but not high.
Honestly,
no, I'm not even kidding. Like, or like little things like that. Just explore.
Something your mom would go, don't get off that.
Find a stick.
Make a pillow fort.
Yeah, make a pillow fort. Jump on the bed.
Or have your kids do it. Maybe your kids don't realize like certain things that I feel like a lot of kids, they're on their phones, they're playing games.
That's a good idea. Let's do something I used to do as a kid and see. They're like, no, this is dumb. Like my dad would probably like.
Should we eat 45 Twinkies and then fucking be in a coma on the couch?
And rub your cum on the carpet.
Cum on the carpet.
Well, this wasn't the funniest pod that we've done, but I really am grateful that I was able to get some, figure some things out. So thank you both. Final thought today. Let's keep it. Let's get back to your night. Let's end it. So,
oh, can I talk about that thing that happened in Cabo that was so funny?
Oh
that,
yeah. Please, so, yeah. This
so,
is good.
So
ending.
Nikki was staying at a nice hotel, and it had a great cool pool, but it had one of those day parties that you see in Vegas where like people are just listening to EDM and fucking eating Molly,
it's so funny
and
too.
Just fucking just in the pool by themselves, just because feeling the beats. You know,
the hotel I'm staying at was like a timeshare place for old people. And then all of a sudden they put in one of these day pool, like day party clubs, mm-hmm. and the whole time you're there, all throughout the day on the weekend, it's like oomph, 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 yeah. oomph. Everywhere you go, the walls are shaking from
and
this
club.
And
then on the other side is Frank Sinatra, like, fly me to the
all old
moon.
People. I was the youngest person staying there by decades. And then, or but everyone comes years, in for this.
Yeah. So by 100 years.
No, I really was. It was hot shit.
So it was so funny because you told me about, and we were in Cabo. Cabo is a place where you go for bachelor parties. You go. Yeah. To fucking rage out, which I would in my 20s, I'd be at that fucking day party getting as drunk as possible, probably putting on another girl's bikini.
That you wanted to go.
I just wanted to see.
Yes.
I just wanted to see it.
We
I
got
don't
done
drink
one
anymore.
Day early. And yeah. We got back from the set.
Yeah.
I went to eat my lunch. I heard that. And Andrew,
we
I said, we were going to go read by the pool. And I wrote Andrew after he dropped me off. And he went back to his hotel. I go, hey, there's no reading going on because there's this fucking house party going on with like EDM music. And so I went into bed to go take my afternoon nap after scenes. And he's texting me.
Because you're
like,
decades younger than everyone.
Yeah. And he goes, I might come over and see that. And I was like, that's hilarious. Like, no way did I think you would ever have the balls to go to this thing alone. Because you get really nervous around like hot young guys sometimes, as I've seen, but you don't care at all. You went alone to this day bar. You drove over back to my hotel.
I just had to see it. I don't know why. I just felt like I had to, like, it was people watching that I haven't seen in so long.
And I decided, you know what? I'm going to get out of bed and go too, because Andrew had sold me on it. And I was like, I don't want to do this. I have a headache. But I got to see this. This is the last weekend we're going to be in town.
So
and
I go
Andrew
in.
Andrew was like, and I go, oh yeah, you go in.
They go in, they pat you down to see if you have guns or knives or fucking, I don't know, nerds, whatever. And
nerds
then
rope.
I go in and it's just, it's exactly what you think. It's like the Tower of Babel. It's just like hedonism, like fucking just the
it's the end of the day too. I mean, this thing probably
like
kicks off at 11:30 and now it's 3:30. It's probably shutting down around 4. Yeah.
So I walk in and I'm like, holy shit, this is the best people watching I've seen in so long. And Nikki, I text her, I go, you just got to see these fucking people. And you're
I
like,
go, is
send,
it worth
send
it?
A
and
pic.
And I go, send a pic.
And I go, I'll do you one better. I'm going to video this whole thing.
He didn't say that.
You.
He just decided to.
So I was going to get a panorama view.
So he's going to take the camera and just scan the debauchery he's watching.
So I start scanning. And I'm scanning from left to right.
Yes.
And while I'm scanning, you know, you look inside your camera or your phone and you
and
you
you're looking at the
reality.
Whole party. You're not looking at like individuals.
Not
but as
at all.
He's scanning, he perfectly lines up with this waitress who is walking the same speed that
exactly
he's decided
the
to
same
scan
speed.
With. Whoa. So she, you see in the video, you see her walk, and then you see her slowly clock that this guy has his phone up, and then you, just by coincidence, he's going the same speed of which she's walking in the same direction, and it looks like he's filming her, and you see her do like a double take.
She had glasses on. I could feel her eyes.
Oh, it's so good to do it slow motion.
Oh, we gotta post it
and
because
then Andrew sends me this long thing of like, I was shooting this video, this all happened. He's like, she caught me, and then he went in. What did what happened? So tell us.
So I fucking shoot the video and I see her in the thing and I don't understand. I don't think that she's looking at me because I'm looking at my phone. I'm just you're disconnected from things that happen when you're looking at your phone.
Oh, for sure.
So I see her staring at me.
And you already feel invisible because you're the oldest guy there.
Yeah, and I'm drinking
you
a Diet Coke.
Like
I'm drinking a Diet Coke wearing like overalls. Like I shouldn't even be in there. Like I'm fucking like I just shit my Depends. Like there's no reason for me to be in there.
You're just there checking out a timeshare.
I'm filming her. And I see her looking, and then it hits me. Oh my God. She thinks I'm a creep. Like, she thinks I'm a creep. I'm not a creep. I'm just here to people. I'm just showing my friend the whole thing.
You see the camera jostle like he got shot. And then it cuts out like Blair Witch. Like, what the hell just happened?
Lo siento. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. She's like, why would you? She's like, let me see the video. She asked me to see the video. I go, it's fine. You'll see. Once you see the video, you'll realize it's not that big of a deal. The video couldn't be any more guilty.
It's so clear he's filming her.
It's pretty much zoomed in on her fucking
app. So then he shows her the text exchange between him and I to prove that I had asked for a pic, which did that suffice for her?
It sufficed enough where she was actually somewhat cool about it, but like the feeling of feeling like a creep.
Oh God.
And being called out.
Men, is their biggest fear is being a creep.
Oh my God.
Because so many of you have creepy thoughts that I think that someone seeing inside it, even for a second, or misidentifying you as a creep is the biggest fear. Like it's a lot of like times women might feel that way when we are like, for me, when someone thinks that I think I'm cool or something, where I'm like, no, that's the opposite of what I think. Like, it's just like, or like if you, someone thinks you stole something and I'm like, no, I used to steal like, yeah, from some change from a plumber to buy some hot Takis or Utz barbecue chips.
I love that Noah's childhood is like Bronx Tale. Like,
it's literally like, hey, Arnold, New York. She was like a character on Hey Arnold.
Yeah, she was just running around
the
streets.
You kind of look like a cartoon character, a beautiful one. Noah, there's so many times this week.
Nice caveat.
No, it's. I want to say that when you get told you're Wallace and Gromit, like I have, it offends you. But but there are so many times since we were doing the podcast, and this was not me shitting on myself, I would see your face in the screen mm-hmm. of us three. And I would think it was me for a second because we have the same like kind of makeup style and hair, and you're wearing some of my clothes. And I would think for a second, oh my God, I look great today. And then that second later, it would be like, oh, that's Noah. And then I would go, wait, no, you look great too. But I was like, there was always this like, oh, wow. And like, I thought there, so I just want to tell you that you're pretty.
Thank you. That's so sweet.
But in a cartoon way.
And you're really great at your job. And I'm adorable. And Andrew is actually not actually funny. He's just funny.
Oh, nice. Very
and
nice.
And smart.
Nice save. All right, guys. We got to go. Yes, oh, and smart.
Jesus.
Very smart. Thank you guys for listening. We'll have a fun show tomorrow to round it out. We'll keep it really light and giggly. Thank you for being there for us and being fans. And I love you so much. Don't be cool out there. And Jack Nicklaus.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
Hello there. I'm Ann Thompson, editor-at-large for IndieWire.
And I'm IndieWire's deputy film editor, Ryan Latanzio.
And we're the co-hosts of IndieWire's weekly Screen Talk podcast.
Join us each week for an in-depth discussion of the latest in film and TV industry news with special guests along the way, including filmmakers and executives.
Hear from us every Friday morning on iHeart platforms or wherever you get your podcasts as IndieWire shares what we've learned from the movie week that was.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Variety is back with its annual Entertainment Marketing Summit on April 24th at the luxurious Beverly Hilton Hotel in Los Angeles. This must-attend event for entertainment marketers will feature conversations with leaders from Netflix, Paramount, Activision, Mattel, LA Rams, Google, and more. Plus, an exclusive keynote conversation with Paris Hilton. The networking opportunities are unbeatable. And once you register, you can start chatting with other registrants to plan a meetup at the lunch or cocktail hour. Limited tickets are available, so secure your spot today at events.variety.com.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.